tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
And welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us for another AfterBuzz TV After Show for Justified Season 6, Episode 4, The Trash and the Snake. I'm John Comerford, joined in the studio by Tamara Berg.
Hey, everybody. You can tweet me at Tamara Berg.
And Stephen Bottomley.
Hey, everybody. You can tweet me at Bottomley Stephen.
All right. I want to start off with a big bang, and we might as well get to it because we were just talking last week about how they're saving their squib budget.
For yes.
We certainly got squib to see allowance. It in full flare today.
There was a boom.
Yeah. An evaporation, shall we say. Boy, he just went up, didn't he? All right, so let's get to it because Wynn and Boyd have decided that they can figure out how to get to the get through the Excelsior 5200 by going to the Wiz, somebody that Wynn knows from his days in the security business.
Yes.
And apparently the Wiz is a Wiz with all his explosives played terrifically by Jake Busey.
Right, yes. After that one point.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I like the way, first of all, you had a favorite line. Let's talk about it right now because they're going up to see the Wiz and, you know.
And Wynn is making a joke about there being dough in the safe, in the pizza right. Restaurant safe. And he says, see what I did there? You get what I did there? And Boyd says, a man's wit is never lost on me, Wynn Duffy.
His wit. But then I love the way that Wynn's trying to prepare Boyd, for what he's about to see and who he's about to see, and you're going to want to punch him.
Exactly.
I thought that was great because,
But seriously, who does Wynn not want to punch?
Well, yeah, that's true.
That's pretty much everybody, isn't it?
Absolutely.
But yeah, you do kind of want to punch this guy because he really thinks a lot of himself.
Oh, he's the Wiz.
He's the Wiz.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure he's the one who came up with that name, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course.
Self-named Wiz.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
It's rather eponymous. Yeah.
Bridget
with the snake Ralph, of course. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So, yeah, and Amulek's not going to do it because they're going to have to get through 16 inches of whatever, just tungsten or whatever something must deal with. Yeah, go ahead.
Not the amulet they can get their hands on.
Oh, yeah. No,
the
C11.
Yes.
You know, the stuff that where are you going to go if you get caught with it?
You get a Guantanamo.
Guantanamo?
Yeah, it's going to go to Guantanamo now.
Stuff like that. I wonder if, if the writers threw it in or on set, they just go, you know what you should say? You know what you should say?
When we get Vijay here in a few weeks, we're going to ask him.
Yes. I'll remember that question.
But we also know from, some of the reading and some of what the actors and showrunners, Dave Blass, when he came on the show, they told us it's a very collaborative set to a certain degree. I mean, people
and
really...
Jacob was saying that when he was here. Yeah, so.
Everybody really respects the scripts because they're obviously so well researched and so well written, but everyone has such a great stake in their parts that when they come up with something, it is considered.
And don't you think that it really stems from the Elmore Leonard part of it because everybody really, really admires and respects his work, that they really want it to be top notch like that, so that the writing, of course, to begin with is all top notch, and then they keep honing it and refining it, and then they come up with these things. And I'm sure
to credit to the writers with Elmore Leonard's passing, there hasn't been that feel in the show about his not having his finger. I don't know how much of a finger he had on the writing, but it sure hasn't felt like there was a miss in where they saw in the characters and the fun they're having.
Right.
Yeah. We're talking about Jake Busey. I didn't get a chance to look it up, and I should have. Is he the son or the brother?
Son.
He's the son.
Didn't you say? He's the son of Gary Busey.
Son of Gary Busey,
Gary Busey, okay. I know his brother also works, so I wasn't sure which one that was.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I had a little info that I found about the scenes that they had to cut after the boom boom scene.
Yeah.
And there was a follow-up scene where Boyd and Wynn Duffy go into the Wiz's house to clean up because they got guts on them. And when they get there, they see Bridget.
Bridget's there, okay.
And she realizes that the guts are from Wiz.
Wiz's guts.
And she's really annoyed. And so when Duffy gives her $10,000 to shut up, and he says, and I mean shut up. I mean don't talk anymore, and you stop talking now. And she goes, well, this is the start, and then he shoots her in the head. I told you to stop talking.
And they had to cut that?
They had to cut it because, well, the other part of it was, and they shot all of this, they set it up that Bridget was the one who made the phone call.
Sure, absolutely.
And set it up for the Wiz to...
She's responsible for the Wiz's guts ended up all over on
him. Right, exactly. And so, anyway, they felt that the what it propelled throughout the episode wasn't necessary. Mm-hmm.
They had a lot of X-Files to cover in this episode.
Yes,
so,
that's right.
You know,
they did.
I could see why they had to let that go.
I did like that Boyd. I mean, Boyd and Wynn showered with Wiz. Pardon me.
Oh,
But it also harkened back to Detroit.
Boyd and Wynn use that.
And then remember the Detroit scene, and then also because you remember when Duffy also had to clean up at the quarrels and had to paint that room.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then of course with the exploding. I'm sorry, forgetting who at the moment, but when the cigarette that we talked about last week with Boyd and all that other stuff, because there was
Picker.
This was another really good one. I went, wow, they got Jake Busey. Nice. So I thought,
he was going to be there a while,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. I thought I was going to see him. Nope. And you can't trust Justify with anybody.
No, you can't.
Because you might be there for 10 seconds and you got to get. I mean, Gerald McRaney lost his foot and ended up dead. So,
yeah. Or you may end up like Boyd, who was supposed to be in one episode.
Exactly.
And becomes, kingpin of the series.
And I thought, because the way they pitched it to the audience when Wynn was talking to Boyd about how annoying this was, and then I'm going, oh, this is going to be fun, because he kept getting more and more annoying. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I thought they should even push it farther, because I didn't know at the time, of course, that they're going to blow him up, but when it happened, I went, oh, man.
When I was listening to the conversation between Wiz and Boyd and how Wiz was just like, especially talking to Boyd about demolition and explosives.
Yes.
And how he was talking down and everything, I kept thinking, it's going to be so much fun to watch Boyd kill this guy. Because I knew he was just thinking of different ways that he's going to kill him with the first opportunity. Didn't see that coming at all. And again, it was just like, okay, everybody, this is the last season, so... You got to rotate people in, and they're going to be taking people out.
So, how does the conversation go? So, Jake, we have a role for you.
It's a good one.
Yeah, it's a really good one.
You're going to like it.
It's explosive.
It's only 2 days on set. Not a big deal.
You get to work against these guys. It's going to be fun.
I said cell phones in the car.
The one thing I liked about that moment is he thinks somehow he has this moment where he's trying to get his phone out.
Yeah.
And it's just like, he knows at some point he's like, this won't work.
Yeah.
But
great shot, too. Again, I got to give credit to Jerry and Walton Fairbairn.
Oh, my God.
Did you see Jerry? I mean,
that was actually.
Man, that was dripping out of his eyes.
Another thing that was mentioned, Adam Arkin.
Oh, who's the director of this particular episode? He's directed
and
many.
He asked Jerry Burns and Walton Goggins to keep their eyes open when the guts are coming at him.
Wow.
And some of it got in Jerry's eye, Jerry Burns' eye, but he's a pro, and he just really struggled to keep his eyes open, even though this stuff was flying in their faces.
Graham Yost says,
I think at the end of the series, we could put together a little reel of Wynn Duffy reacting to horrible, horrible violence.
Mm-hmm. Well, a couple of things. I hope that reel is there. I hope
all the deleted
scenes are available somewhere, because I want to see the one with Bridget and everything that they shot that they had to. A reel like that would be awesome, but can you imagine having to stand there knowing what's coming and knowing that, look, if we screw this up, we got to do this again. OK Go got to wear goggles when they had to do their thing.
Yeah.
These guys have to stand there and know it's coming. That's amazing.
High stakes. And remember Dave Blass, when he came on the show, he was talking about the different kinds of blood that
absolutely.
And that it's a big deal be doing those scenes. So
not enough guts for mine, but that was quite the evaporation of Wiz.
Well, he was using some serious explosive.
Yes.
Whatever the heck that was.
That's good stuff.
That's right. What did he call it?
He's got to get
the
through the Excelsior.
It
was a...
Some weird...
Like metric or...
I think it was asymmetric explosive.
You got to get through the Excelsior 5200 or 500 or whatever.
I mean, that was the guy that was going to do it.
Yeah.
And he blew himself up, so they're kind of back at square one on how to get into the.
Wait a minute. I don't know that they are so much because he'd already made the. He already drilled. He was prepared to put the bomb or whatever explosive in there. So all they really have to do is
get some explosive and test it in
there. C-11.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
he probably's got more. Right.
Sure. I'm sure he does.
Yeah. You don't use it all.
Oh, Bridget had it.
Oh dang it. Sorry.
So you can't go back to Bridget, can they? Well, they never said they never.
Audience doesn't know that,
but yeah, Bridget,
you never know. She could come back because she's not officially dead.
No, but
she does talk a lot, though.
It was a great reminder because you know I got lulled into the storylines and the characters and stuff like that, and I completely forgot for a second that that's right, they blow people up in this show.
Yeah.
Did you guys forget that for a second?
Absolutely.
Were you just shocked by it?
Right. It's a little bit more of a caper kind of these days. You know,
especially
trying to figure out who's behind who and what people's motivations are, and it's more of a head game.
So, because we're trying to figure it out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then it was just.
But, I mean, if you remember two seasons ago, season four, super high body count, I'm pretty sure. And we were just like, you know.
Right.
Counting them off. We actually had a tally that season.
That was Quarles, right?
That was a Quarles.
That was a Sarah's body count.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So, we're starting our body count.
Yeah.
I love it.
Oh, poor Wiz. I'm watching Wiz.
They brought back Constable Bob. They can bring back Wiz.
how does that make that happen?
Sure.
All right, let's move on to our Ava and Catherine thing, because I thought this was the cat and mouse thing. I mean, man, this was all that southern, polite kind of stuff with all kinds of things happening underneath. Because, you know, after Boyd leaves and Ava's there, she, you know, has her meeting with Braylon, which we'll get to later. But what I'm more interested in is that when she comes back, Catherine's in her room.
In her room.
She's paid for it. And, you know, the way Catherine is, I paid for it. Yeah, I'm going to be in your room. But
she creeps me out so much.
Especially
she's
this
doing a fantastic
scene.
Job.
This episode was
You know, it's that. And it's great to see a woman doing that because, you know, we kind of expect it from the men.
Yeah.
But like you say, this southern charm, sweet as pie thing going on, lulling your victim into a sense of security.
Yeah, did you feel the web and everything? That, you know, she's just toying with her.
She knows an awful lot about Ava.
And we've been, you know, they've been, for weeks now, they've been talking about how bad she is and that she's the one behind Grady and she had to do all the hard work and the whole thing. But Avery said about what kind of a woman you have to be and that now we're getting to see her be that. And very, very, and that, all the malevolence coming off her.
Yeah.
Last episode, I was thinking Ava's under so much pressure and they're pushing her.
Yeah.
This episode, they did it right off the top, and I'm like going, oh my, every time Ava's on the screen, I'm just nervous.
Yes.
Yeah, you don't know.
There's so much tension that, she's doing such a great job of staying in that world. She wakes up next to Boyd, she gets the phone right away.
Yeah.
The door opens. In the hallway.
When she's talking to Raylan,
every little thing. Yeah. And every time Catherine reached for something, I just thought, oh God.
Here it comes.
I know it can't be yet because it's Ava, but holy crap, something bad's going to happen. And when they're at lunch, he goes, I know you want to see what's under here. I'm like, I don't.
Okay, but wait. What did you think was under
there? A head or a heart or. Part of Wiz, I don't know.
She keeps part of Grady with her wherever she goes.
You know, I was thinking like Grady's hand flipping someone off. I don't know.
What did you think it was?
I thought it was some sort of body part or something, but I was like, why would just to threaten her or something like that? It was very odd.
I had no idea.
You thought it was something horrible though, right?
I thought, the only thing that sort of came to mind was a weapon, you know, but it didn't really make sense. So, it was going to be something bad.
Yeah.
Well, pharmaceutical grade cocaine. But instead it was
cocaine.
A treat.
Nice.
It was dessert. I did like how she just wanted to ask the question of what did it feel like.
Yeah,
I bet it felt great.
Yeah, you know? And again, that was because we keep hearing it from everybody else about who she is, and then here she is just saying, "Yeah, that's what I wanted to do for months."
I loved him, but I sure bet that felt great.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Oh. Yeah, and she's willing to do that to him. Yeah, and, okay, and so then, so, of course, then they go into the store. We do the whole jewelry heist thing and the misdirection and the sleight of hand and we steal the tennis bracelet. And, you know, and the whole time I'm going, what is she getting Ava into? And it's like, Ava, you know, and, of course, Ava, I love the way Joelle, put it together, her little choice there to, you know sniff her nose and everything.
Just
to
let know that
exactly.
She did it.
That was great. And her heart's beating like a jackrabbit afterwards and stuff. That was a fun little scene. And then, Tamara, you found this out.
So. Yeah, Graham Yost says that the stolen tennis bracelet that Catherine Hale swapped is going to play a role in the rest of the season.
So that's the whole reason for that particular scene. Now, who knows? We don't know how that's going to play out.
Yeah, that's all he said, though.
There was a couple of really cool moments in that scene. One of them was when she said, okay, he gets it. And it was such a minor sort of, you don't
oversell this.
And remember your place.
Remember your place, rookie.
Remember your place. Exactly. They drop that in again about you will always be, you know. And then at the end, they're like, you know, Thelma Louise, oh my God. And Catherine was just like, this is about my past. This is about, you know, payback. And
right.
So a couple of nice beats in that.
Yeah, the idea that she used to, he used to walk on over with a glass of champagne and I locked into her and everything like that, and how far she's fallen because of all this. And then she ties it all back to Avery. And, you know, and still, you know, she's the reason why she had an affair with Avery was to get back at Grady in some sense. And now, you know, even though Avery was the best lover she's ever had, she can't wait to get rid of him.
No, and it ties into what, again, it's been my theme. She is stuck in Harlan.
Sure.
And she doesn't want to be. She's always thinking about where she was.
Well, yeah, and bigger than...
And bigger than that.
Absolutely. And that's, the whole story of the Hillary and Bill and all that other stuff. Absolutely.
And that's with her Ava.
Right.
She and Gray.
And that's with Ava.
Right.
So they're keeping those two locked into the past. And by the way, it was right after... Boyd and Wynn talk about their plans and what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. That Wynn literally blows up in their face. So I just went, well, there you go. Anytime you think about, you know, your future or getting out, it blows up in your face. Because they're talking about this is how we're going to get the money. This is no, you're never leaving Harlan, dude.
Because they were fine when they were reminiscing about Hawaii.
They were.
Wynn was just talking about his days being in, you know, the
continuing the
pie.
Surfing,
exactly.
Surfing theme
from last year. Last year.
And I'm sure there are bad parts of Maui. It's just kind of funny to hear, you know, the tough streets. Of...
exactly.
He's an award winning. I'll show you my trophies. He says,
of course.
He's an award winning.
Right. But he does surf, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
All right, but getting back to the cat.
Yeah, sorry.
No, that's fine. So by the end of this, you know, especially in the car and the look on her face when she's talking about that and the whole thing, and I'm just going, this is not going to end well for Ava here.
Right.
I mean, do you think they're setting up a showdown between the two ladies?
To a certain degree,
yeah.
But, you know, it's still all about Boyd and Raylan.
Yeah, of course, but I'm just thinking, okay, I was already, you know, because we had that great scene between when Raylan and Tim show up at the Loretta's and the whole step to the right just a second,
right.
And then Ty, of course, reveals he's got a holding the gun and everything like that.
Right.
I'm going, okay, we're setting up the showdown, but I'm going, okay, but wait a minute, we got to have Raylan and Boyd have their showdown, so maybe it's going to be Ty and Tim, it would be nice showdown, right?
Yes. So, that would be very nice.
But we still have Markham.
Yeah, I know. But
unless
I think
it's out and goes.
No, I just
Markham.
Think that
maybe
the Markham is going to get taken out by, I think, Catherine.
Yeah, I think I probably.
We're going way off base now because I know we're going into predictions.
Yeah.
But I just thought that's kind of what they were setting up here is that maybe Ava and. Catherine are going to have some sort of thing.
Yeah, but there's so much history between Avery and Catherine
that it has to
come to a
resolve
confrontation. So that's definitely going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for me, the theme of this show was all about intimidation to me. You know, because Catherine was intimidating.
Sure. Oh, my God.
Ava, like,
so much
crazy.
So she freaked out and was ranting at the end there.
Thank you.
Yeah. And just the 555 and...
Lost it.
That's it.
Lost
that's
it.
Well, because she brings, you know, Catherine brings up Albert.
Oh, and the way she does it.
Oh, yeah.
Weren't
yeah.
you ever curious? Because she's saying, I can find out.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, she is lighting the fire under Ava to see, you know, which way she's going to jump.
Yes.
And, again, kudos to... kill me for forgetting her name.
Talking about Joelle.
Thank you. She's doing such an amazing job in this.
I should.
But
I know she is. But, you know, in that scene, I was going, I wonder if at all they're going to have the point where somebody actually... Because I wanted Ava in the moment to just go, all right, cut the shit.
I think she will. I think she will because she's going to be pushed back up against a wall.
And she's at some point, and I think that would be great.
And we know she's got it in her.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she can't. She can't because if she pushes it...
Well, I think she can, but
the reasoning... Basically, Catherine said, I can find out why you got out.
Right. Well, I think she's telling her everything. It's like, I pretty much already know.
But if she did know, Ava would be dead. And well, I think that's what Ava knows. She goes, well, she can't totally. And that's what Raylan was telling her. It's like, she's just playing with you.
I think
she doesn't know everything.
But she's hinting that she knows enough. There's no way this guy didn't let you out or recant his testimony or whatever, his evidence, whatever he said, without somebody prodding
without pressure,
him.
Yeah.
That's enough for her to know that something's up, Ava,
something
and I'm on to it. So
yeah.
I don't care what it is, but you better toe the line. Otherwise, I will find out the whole thing. That's enough for her to know. I don't know that she needs to know anymore, but what I'm saying is I just want to know at some point Ava's going to have to snap and push back because otherwise, you know, first of all, you know, what else could happen except for Catherine to keep coming forward? I mean, something like that, you have to stand your ground. Otherwise, they just will run right over you.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want that. I wanted it then, but it's too early in the season.
Yes.
But I wanted it then. It's like, oh, cut the shit. What are you driving at? Out, you know. And of course, she doesn't want to because she's scared or whatever. But I'm looking forward to the those scenes when she does.
Well, you know, Ava talked about it in the first scene with Raylan. What's it like having someone's destiny
fade
in your hands?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that?
Yeah.
Because so she's had Raylan with that, and now she kind of has Catherine in that position with her too. She's got a lot going on in her life, and there are a lot of people who are holding her hostage.
Mm-hmm. You know, I thought that was an interesting conversation that they had in
talking about
Ava
and Raylan.
Yeah, is that what makes you? Is that what gets you up in the morning?
Yeah, that sort of thing.
It was
sexual tension
like,
in the whole thing,
and I'm kind of sadistic. You know, are you getting off and you know, putting me here and that sort of thing? It was an odd. And then she, you know, like, why not you and I in the in the room with champagne?
Yeah, I think she was just throwing it all at him because she's just tired of people messing with her, and the only outlet she has is to mess back at the one guy she really knows that she can kind of try to get under his skin at all.
I think he stays and he marries Ava.
Wow.
I think that's what the whole thing is.
Prediction I don't see happening.
Okay. So, won't you guys be embarrassed?
But I thought he was. I thought he handled it well. I think he was legitimately saying, "Look, I know. I'm just trying to make sure you deal and take care of and honor your agreement, so you don't go back to prison."
Right.
I think because Vasquez and Rachel pushed so hard last week, I think he was really trying to fight for her in that sense. Because he thought it was too much.
Yeah.
So, and I think right now he's just trying to say, look, just do what you need to do. And you know, I think he was sincere when he said, "Look, I'm not asking you to sleep with him and the whole thing." And
right.
You know, of course, what else?
And I think that was a little bit of her pushing back, you know, with him. Well, are you telling me not to?
Right.
Are you telling me not to? You know, I think she's so desperate right now. And he's a relatively safe person.
Because of their history. She can't do that with Catherine just yet, even though I want her to, and I'm hoping that she will later. I mean, she can definitely do it with Raylan because of the history.
So you think Catherine's just kind of playing with the mouse?
Yeah.
You know, just a cat
playing
with the mouse.
Absolutely.
Right now.
Let her, you know, you squeeze her. And let her see what happens.
If Catherine's playing with the mouse, we know Markham is an incredibly vicious guy because he talked about, you know, blinding him and all
and
of that
a good
stuff.
Start.
Nice, Steve.
Thank
that was
you.
Good.
Thank you.
So if Catherine is his match, where would she be willing to stop?
Catherine?
What I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, if she's...
I don't think she has a stopping point yet. I don't think we've seen it. The way everybody talks about her, that she doesn't have a stopping point.
Well, that's what makes me so terrified of her.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what's great because... And she has that gentility and all that other stuff, and you're just going... That's the stuff that scares the crap out of you because you don't know.
Yeah.
You just don't know.
You all of a sudden realize you've stepped two steps past the line, and
it's way too late. It's way too late.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get into the whole other part with Ray and Tim and... going out and Raylan and Tim taking off and finding out that the whole reason why Avery is there is to, which I was saying last week, it can't be about pot because, you know, you're going to if you grow pot anywhere. Why buy up land to grow pot when you can grow it anywhere that no one would see? What I wasn't aware of is that they think it may be legal in Kentucky, which is
they're counting
that's a great storyline.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting one to take because mm-hmm. they bring up a really good point, which is you can't put pot money in the bank because it's a federal bank.
Yes. Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Recognized. And it's actually something that growers and dispensaries here are having an issue
with. Yes. Yeah. I was reading that too somewhere.
And in Canada, where it's fully legal,
yeah.
it's a real good business.
Sure.
And people are being employed and it's not no one's going crazy and yeah. it's protected and there's insurance and there's all kinds of it's
tax revenues. Yeah.
Tax revenues. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was an interesting take, and I also like the fact that Raylan's kind of like right down the middle.
Yeah. Sure.
But I can't tell where the show is on it. I can't tell if the show is pro or against it, because it sure seems like what they're saying is, if you do this, nothing but bad people are going to come in.
Uh-huh.
But then right in the middle, Raylan's saying, I don't care, one way or the other. If it's good, great. If it happens, good, whatever. Yeah. So I'm a little bit lost on where the point of view is.
I don't think
the show is
specifically not taking a stand on that, because I think more than anything, they come to... In fact, there's one of the questions I want to ask Vijay when he's here in a couple of weeks, is do they ever take a position on things like that, or do they just stay to the truth of the piece and the people in it? Because that's what I think they come down on. It. I think what they looked at the fact that Colorado, the whole thing, and it's happening in a couple of different states, and they're going, okay, this is in the zeitgeist. Let's use this as a storyline. And Kentucky used to grow hemp all the time. It was all over the place, and not necessarily cannabis, but so anyway. But the point is.
And then they moved to tobacco.
Exactly, and they moved to tobacco. So I'm just saying that why not? I mean, aren't in such a depressed area and stuff like that. It's a great storyline to bring that in because it was so successful. I'm sure that's arguable, but in Colorado it's working, so to speak.
Yeah.
And so why not bring it into this? Because that opens up a whole, as Avery is proof of that, opportunity for people who are willing to make the gamble on it.
Right.
So I think it's just – I just like the storyline. I think it's funny. I think it's terrific and it's perfect.
I think it's a great storyline and it's
and revealed right well, because we were all – it's like, what are they doing? Yeah. Why are they buying all this? And it never even dawned on me. I mean, obviously they were buying up the land for some reason. We just didn't figure out that it
was – I was like going, okay, there's got to be gold buried. Somebody at one point had
like a
stash.
Yeah, because that whole like wide open field next to the highway, you can't grow pot there. But if it's legal,
you can't do it. I didn't even think about that part of it.
One other little side note about the fact that it's not legal is dispensaries cannot pay their employees with checks.
Right? Yeah, that's another thing.
They can't purchase supplies with checks.
Yeah,
they
everything has to be done with cash.
And the dispensaries are saying, you're making this horrible for us. We want to be able to put it in a bank. We want to use those services and use a check, and they can. It's mm-hmm. stupid.
It's fascinating.
Which is why it's great
it's
if
really
you have a big old vault as your...
I would use an Excelsior 52.
Or you can put the dough.
That's right.
See how I did that? See what I did there?
Yeah. I love this. I think it's great. It's rolling out. I think it's terrific.
So anyway, back to Tim and Raylan. Yeah. When they were talking to Calhoun, we got the real details of what the ledger was holding.
Exactly. Right. And the lines and the circles.
Yeah, and who is who. Yeah. And then they start to put it together about
the Hutchins.
Who offers were made to, what the circles and the lines mean, mm-hmm. who they had to raise the stakes for mm-hmm. or the offers for, and discovered that the Hutchins had a mysterious...
They had refused two offers.
Yes, and then had a mysterious...
So we finally found out what happened
dioxide.
To the peacock calling Hutchins.
Yeah,
I was kind of disappointed.
What, because we didn't get to see what happened to them?
I thought Ty was going to do a lot more wet work.
But if you do wet work, there's a lot you don't have.
That's why I figured there was going to be all the plastic and
Of course,
but
made
this
us
was
think
perfect
that.
Because I mean you don't have any next to the can. I mean it was laid out great.
No, I know. It made sense.
You just wanted you wanted more squib work.
You wanted a squib count up.
It was
come on, don't we all?
I just they left it dangling just perfectly. So there you go. Evidently, their cleanup crew isn't that good.
No, Tim was able to suss that out. Mm-hmm.
Well, Tim's good. Tim's good. That's it.
Tim is good.
Nobody else figured it out, but Tim figured it out. So he's good. So go ahead, Steve.
Well, there was my favorite line in that moment. When figuring out how you're going to die, Tim says, I want Sigourney Weaver to choke me out with her thighs.
Yes. And
as a way to go, not a bad way to go.
Side note about that, Jacob Pitts wrote that line.
Improv line.
Really?
Nice.
Yes, he did.
All
yes,
right,
he
then.
Did.
Good job, Jacob.
Yeah, and Graham Yost confirmed that.
Oh, there you go. Look at
so
that.
It's another testament to.
But it's such a weird reference, you know. I mean, it's great. It's funny. It's just I'm just go. Oh, I wonder why. I wonder how many names he went through.
Right?
Scorny Weaver,
yeah.
And he landed on that one. Yeah, that's Scorny Weaver. Yeah,
that's
she's tall.
One.
She's got the big. Yeah. Like, how do you land on that one?
Just a little note how they decided to use Murphy's Law.
Oh, yeah.
All those little
things. That was my line. That's the line I like
I'm
the
sorry.
Most.
Well,
no, that's fine. It's Murphy's Law. Talking crazy. Thor's hammer. Who gives a shit?
Thor's hammer.
Thor's hammer.
That was my favorite.
So, there was a lot of expos, and it was a lot of expos, it has to be, through Tim and Raylan. And they did a good job in delivering it in interesting ways.
Absolutely,
with interesting
and we needed
people.
It now anyway, because we needed to know a little bit more what was going on to
yes.
the
absolutely.
Thick in the plot
we're
and all
well
that kind
into
of stuff.
Act.
Absolutely,
yes.
And I thought, and just it was fun to do, and I just loved Tim just sitting there looking at people, you know, the way he looks at them, and he doesn't give a shit about who you are or what you're saying, you know, the way he's looking at Avery, and he says his line, and what he said to Ty the other day, he said something about being a dweeb or whatever, and Ty goes, well, you're just a dick.
Yeah, exactly.
But Tim, to me, is great like that. I love that he's just sitting there looking at you and just cuts you.
Yeah.
I think he's been terrific this season.
Yeah.
I'm glad they're using him more.
I'm sure we will, and I hope that we're going to get some more of his marksmanship, showing
that's
up. That's his great talent, you know.
Yeah, and that's why I think it's as much as I would love to see Ty and Raylan, I think you got to. I wouldn't want to delete that. I mean, diminish it by having it because I want to see the Raylan Boyd thing more than anything.
Of course.
So, but I do like the idea of Ty and Tim.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, that would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
Both soldiers, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
just like we have with Colt when he was there.
Right.
So that'll be interesting.
Right.
So hopefully that goes through. So let's talk about the Avery. Go ahead.
Well, we got to see, and I'm looking for Dickie Bennett.
That's right. We got to see Dickie.
Dickie Bennett.
Man, what a great scene.
Now,
put him in prison.
At one point, did you not have notes about them saying basically, or somebody here said it basically, we just let him be Dickie Bennett.
Yes.
just let him go.
Yeah, I did. And it's one of those things where, you know, oftentimes they get in scenes with him and he just goes and goes and goes, and everybody just kind of has to wait for Dickie Bennett to be done talking.
That's what I meant.
Again.
They just put him in the prison room, and they went, okay, three, you go. Okay, go.
Yeah.
Come on,
yeah.
Give us that reel.
And it really looked like they were just playing off each other well, the way, you know, Raymond starts to go, Archangel, and here's a message from on high, and all that other stuff. But that seemed like it was nice play off of each other. I don't know if any of that was scripted. We'll talk to VJ about stuff like that.
Yeah.
One thing about that scene is that it did kind of force me to go, okay, Loretta McCready. You know, there was a lot of like, oh God, digging the history of the show. Why is he upset that it went to Loretta.
And did you recall it? Because Mags Bennett, of course, is Dickie's mother, and she took a shot, and, you know, Loretta was basically her trophy,
her baby doll, essentially.
Exactly.
She was like,
put her up on a pedestal and put her above Dickie and Cooter and the whole thing. So that's
brushing
why.
Brushing her hair.
That's right. She was, you know, she thought.
Now, did he get upset because he realized what Loretta was going to use the land for?
No, he got upset that he sold it to Loretta. He had no idea it was Loretta that he ended up selling it to. He didn't like Loretta. He was pissed off and jealous of her. And that he had no
that
idea.
Was a great way to end it too, with him being so snarky and like, "I'm not gonna help you."
Oh, I loved the singing and stuff. That was great.
Yeah, and his little thing.
Raylan speaking to him from beyond.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jeremy Davies, he's so brilliant.
It's good to see him.
What up, pimps?
And then a great little edit going from that scene right to Ty making another offer.
That scene was awesome. When you have Ty and Markham and Tim and Raylan in the same room, man. And that scene
Before we even get to that, he's just talking to Loretta and he's making the offer and stuff. And then let's reveal Loretta for those who didn't remember the LM and who she was. And it's like, oh, that's right. It's a little girl. Not little girl, but younger. All right, and then, of course, she says, well, I like to think when I drink. And then she gets the apple pie, and I'm going, another thing. It was just like, what's under the... You want to see what's under this? Like, oh my God, she's gonna make him drink
right
already?
Here, right now?
Exactly.
Adam Markin.
It was in the glass.
It's so much
not
fun, but just, you know, no one's touching, no one's drinking. But
with us.
Man, it's like, you know, the gun under the desk.
Yeah,
it's like
everybody's
right
eyes
there.
Are on that little mason jar.
It's right there. And, yeah. And before she had to, like, test it, I was like going, did she? Did she? Because she's got to get rid of the body.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Did she? So that was a really nice callback to what apple pie and mason jars.
Yeah, great.
I'm an old friend of mine.
Don't you think, and again, we'll find out, but don't you think the writers are going, we got to bring that back somehow. We got to find a way to, you know, wind that back in somehow.
Yeah.
Well, they did such a great job of it, because not only did it throw you back to season two and Mags and all of that stuff, but it also lets you find out a lot more about Markham. And who he was.
Yes.
Yeah,
that,
the tie-in.
Yes, he got to reveal how he knows everybody except the Givens.
Yeah.
But then he revealed that he did done his homework about Raylan.
Yes. Yes.
But just being the local boy. And,
right.
You know, which is so cool, because as you're listening to him, you're going, well, this guy's kind of just cool, hang out, non-threatening.
Yeah.
And then you realize, no, that's why he is where he is, because that's what you think.
Mm-hmm.
Until he cuts your eyes
out. The other thing,
right.
Especially that scene with Avery when he's talking all about his history and stuff like that, and if I think about the other scenes I've had with Avery, I mean, if I'm a writer and I go, wait a minute, I got Sam Elliott saying these lines, yeah, I'm going to pad those speeches, where if it was somebody else, and maybe I wouldn't have written them so, you know, eloquently.
Flowery.
Exact flowery, or so long.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's just, you got an arrow like that in your quiver, let's use it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what I was thinking.
You know what they've been doing on this one, too? They've been doing kind of like the Old West thing.
Uh-huh.
Last week, it was there was a reference of, that's how Gary Cooper.
You're
going to get on your horse and
work for
Gary Cooper.
Exactly, yeah.
This one, he's talking to Calhoun. He's talking about, if they think they're coming in with their black hat.
The black hat, yeah.
Right? And then they do the draw.
They lose the thing. Well,
but they do their version of it, which is, the only thing I didn't see was the clock tower, or the guy with the thing. But then he reaches for his cell phone. Like, there you go. That's 2015 draw.
Yeah. But also, when Avery sits down, he says, what are you going to ride me? Tell me you're down in town in 24 hours or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Which harkens back to the first episode.
Yes.
So, and, of course, they've run that theme throughout the series. But I think they're really having fun with that.
Yeah.
It sure seems like they're just like, you know what? The writing seems relaxed.
Yeah.
That's the best way I can put it right now. It just seems relaxed, and everybody is just hitting their stride.
Yeah.
Could be totally wrong. We'll find out.
I
loved that scene of all of them in there, and when Markham finally has had enough of Raylan,
mm-hmm.
that just the tension,
there was tension
of those
there too,
two,
sure.
and just doing nothing. And I gotta say, man, Adam Markham picked up everything.
Yeah,
that was just
it was wonderfully
so
staged
cool.
too. I mean, when you first start the scene, Raylan's back leaning against the wall and stuff like that, and Markham sits down, and they just slowly get closer together.
Yeah,
wonderfully staged and stuff. And then also. The whole thing, he goes, mind if I burn one? He's like, I like to smoke or anything. Which was, she
drink
just
when
said,
I
like to drink when I think. He likes to smoke when he thinks.
And then Raylan says, I guarantee I'm not going to bring you in for that.
Not for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. Mm-hmm. It was good. It was a good scene. Mm-hmm. It was fun.
All right. What else we got?
Loretta's coming back.
Oh yeah, I mean, I can't believe I forgot to mention that, because we obviously they're running the idea of the whole father issue and what it means to Raylan, and here he is actually being fatherly to Loretta, which he's done before in the past. Another
right.
How did that go?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And here's a daughter who didn't really have a father growing up. We can sense.
Yep.
And so this is what his daughter's going to be if he doesn't have a any kind of impact in her life and stuff. At least that's what he may be thinking. And look how hard it is for him to deal with her. And I just love that. It's just right there in his face. They're putting it right there.
So the one thing that he said to her of the kernel of it was, all dads really just want our kids to be safe. And he says, just put some guards outside, which I just said, that's just telling us what's happening. Yeah. That's what's coming.
Help me sleep at night. How many parents have said that? Help me sleep.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And we do know Loretta's coming back.
She wants to be
she's hoping to, exactly
in the weed business.
Exactly, and Markham wants the same thing.
Yeah,
So there's a whole lot of
you got Sam Elliott
exactly
going up against Loretta. Avery and Loretta.
And Loretta's wily, you know?
Oh, she's sassy, too. Yeah, she's good. She is. Obviously, she created LM Consolidated, so that, you know, right. I mean, it's not really that much of a veiled reference, but Dickie couldn't figure it out, so she's smart enough to do that.
Well, come on. Exactly. Do we expect that much of Dickie
Bennett? That's what I think is funny, is like she goes, all I'm going to need is say, put Consolidated behind that, and he'll never figure it out.
Yeah.
That's how she gets.
So. Going back a little bit to Ava and Catherine, I forgot to mention this, that Albert is a weak link in Ava's story, and Graham Yost said that is going to be a big part of the next episode.
Oh, the next episode.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so
I mean, you know, they've been doing, you know, we pick up in the next episode minutes after last week's episode. Mm-hmm. So, so it'll be interesting to see how that's going to show up.
So I have a question.
Yeah.
When Boyd comes in, and again, so cool to see her totally freaking out and then having to make that transition of, okay, get back into it, She wants to tell Boyd something. Mm-hmm. I know what you're going to say, honey, but let me. What was it she was going to say?
I don't know.
What was she going to tell her? Was she going to tell her about Albert? Was she going to tell her what she was doing with Raylan? Was she going to say, hey, by the way, I did coke
today?
There's
so much you could have said, or, you know. I don't know.
Where was she in that moment of, because she feels like, well, she says it. You think I'm safe because she didn't put a bullet in my head today?
Yeah.
Right.
So she knows she's on the line here.
Right.
And she knows Boyd, for some reason, she thinks Boyd can help her out.
Well,
so
there was a hint when she's talking to Raylan where she said, you don't think it could be real?
Right.
So maybe, she obviously those feelings could have been rekindled. Or maybe she sees, look, I'm in a no-win scenario here.
Right.
It's Kobayashi Maru here. Yeah. Maybe Boyd is my only way out. Maybe I have to confide in him and say, look, I'm stuck. The only way out of prison was to agree to this, and now I don't want to do it. Help me out.
But you're saying that
Catherine,
to Boyd.
Yeah.
And again, they open this up with Boyd watching her sleep.
Right, but she's his favorite pastime.
I know, but...
What do you think,
but
Boyd?
But she may believe that Boyd really loves her. And look, because she said, I haven't told him anything, but you got to help me out of here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm just... Who knows? But what, not only was that question interesting, what was she going to tell him? But he says, I know what you're going to say. And I'm like, I don't know what she's going to say. How do you know what she's going to... Yeah. What was he thinking?
I don't know, but I'm thinking when he said that, she's thinking, oh, God, you don't. No, you don't.
I
wanted to buy new shoes. And that's not what I'm going to tell you.
Do you have an inclination about what you think she was
going
to say?
I have no idea. Okay.
Yeah.
Because when they went there with that, I'm like, well, what the hell can you say?
Mm-hmm.
Because even if she said, let's play this out, even if she said, look, I got out of jail because they want me to inform on you, he would still say, well, what have you been telling them? Or you would have been back
in jail.
Why
did you even take that deal?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying is, like, how do you present that to Boyd and think you're going to walk away?
Well, I know, but that's what I thought was great about it, because she is so desperate in that moment, the way she was talking to him, and the way she realizes, okay, Catherine's going to put a bullet in my head. She didn't do it today. So what choices do I have but to confide in the guy who I think might be able to take on Catherine and get me out of this? That's the only thing I can guess. I'm not positive, but I think that's what it would be.
Yeah.
I know what it was.
Oh, really?
But there's a thing. It's either be in trouble with Catherine or be in trouble with Boyd. I'm sleeping with Boyd, so I might get in more.
I got it. I saw this really cute pair of sapphire earrings at the jewelry store today.
I know how to swipe them. I'm going to need your help.
And I would like you to buy them for me. That was what you said.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Well, that explains everything.
It does,
Lucy.
Doesn't it?
But what do you think he was thinking? I know what you're going to say. What could he possibly think she was going to say?
I don't know, but once again, they have that we are so not on the same page, because right now she's thinking, hey, you know what sounds good? Brazil, Bolivia, anywhere the hell
is
from here.
His new end game is to stay in
Harlem. Not only are we going to get
he's
the
legal... He's traded the DQ in for Fur Pot.
But not only we're going to do it legally, we're going to screw this guy.
Yes.
Exactly.
And, you know, that'll work out fine.
Well, you know, the not leaving Harlan thing is probably in his future.
Sure. Every
time they've tried to lay out their life in Harlem, it worked out so well.
So nicely.
We got to run out. Do you want to say shout out
to Art at all? Art.
Oh, yeah, they had a good scene with Art. Absolutely, a good scene with Art.
Yeah, reminding us who he is, reminding us that he's annoyed.
Yeah.
You know what I'm missing from that, though? I'm missing closure of where they left. I'm missing the conversation of, I'm never going to ask you the question that is the elephant in the room, but I want you to know, maybe it's coming, but I keep expecting it. And
because of last season?
Because of last season, because that was a huge rift.
Now they compartmentalized the cops and their men, so they can forget it.
But you know what? Even that would be fine. But that's the only thing I'm still missing between those two. But, you know, he makes a good egg.
Yeah, I like that. That, was
that is a good fried egg. I have some shout-outs.
Please.
To Kiss Lena, Ben Hamill, and Give Me Shelter on YouTube. And I forgot a couple of our Twitter friends who were sending me some great stuff. Sam Watson sent us the TVP break script. If you guys want to see it, you can check my Twitter feed. It's back about a week and a half out. I can retweet it. It's a very funny scene where the guy who does TVP breaks writes special scenes for TV shows, well-known TV shows, because he believes that there aren't enough scenes set in toilets.
Okay.
Oh, thank you.
And so he wrote one that was very funny. And then, so that was Sam Watson. And then also Brad A.C. tweeted me about last week's episode. I tuned into Justified in the middle of the episode and saw Jerry Burns in skin tone Speedo scarred me for life.
I feel sorry for him. He was not prepared.
You really need to see it in context.
In fact, you really have to. You do need to see it in context. You need to see that tanning bed first. Kind of prepares you.
Exactly. It just gives you a little bit of a moment.
Absolutely.
But thank you all for your comments and your tweets. We really appreciate it. They make me laugh a lot.
YouTube comment there. Go to iTunes. Where else can they? I can't remember everything.
iTunes, YouTube, and then you can use the hashtag ABTVJustified on Twitter. But I look for the master.
Speaking of saying, hey, pimps, let me pimp our guest. We're going to have a writer on the show.
VJ Boyd.
And if you have a question
for VJ, what do you want to know?
Writer, send it to us because we'll use it. Probably. Yeah.
Anything you want
or
to know
we'll
about?
Steal it. Either way, you'll hear it.
Steve will probably take credit for it. So
probably.
Just
most
know
likely.
That that's
no, seriously, send us your queries, your questions, what you're wondering, that sort of thing. And, you know, if it's usable, we'll use it.
Yeah.
All right. Last thoughts.
Constable Bob's coming back next week. Yeah. I can't wait for that. Looking forward to it.
That's the sad part about this is you know you're only seeing everybody one more time. But.
Boo-hoo.
13 episodes?
Yes.
All right, next episode is 5.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. Yes. People are going to be starting on the chopping block pretty soon.
We're going to start up the hashtag.
People, if you don't have your office pool set up about who dies first, you got to get on that.
Do a body count this time?
I think
there's going to be a huge body count at the end.
They're
going to hold out until the end.
I've got a question. How long do you think Calhoun lasts?
Oh, not very long.
Yeah.
Not
they
very
got the
longer.
Information they need, and then somebody's going to get pissed off at
them. Yeah. Yeah, because they'll figure it out, even though he was very quiet and didn't want to reveal anything because there might be cameras or bugs in the room.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
All right. So.
See you, Calhoun. Yeah. Hopefully you don't go out like Wiz did.
Yeah. Steve, where can they find you?
Bottom with Steve at Twitter.
Tamara.
I'm at Tamara Berg on Twitter. Also, my website is TamaraCentral.com.
And you can find me right here at AfterBuzzTV/Justified.
Can't wait to see you guys next time.
All right, thanks again for tuning in, everybody. We'll talk to you next time.
Thank you.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later, apple pie.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.